today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
They found that on a front page news story, virtually no one would read a front page news story if it was just text. But as soon as you put a picture or some kind of graphic or bar graph, any kind of visual item with that news story, suddenly, what is it? I think
almost
80% of people would read that because there's a visual cue. And we're such visual creatures. And so when you realize you have that superpower, you almost have to step back, and it's kind of like Spider-Man. You know, with this power comes great responsibility. So what are you going to do with your photography?
Hey, guys. Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast. And today, well, we're changing the world. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to interviewing world-class photographers to ask them the questions you want answered. Whether you want to be the world's best wedding photographer, family photographer, pet photographer, or you just want to take better photos of your kids growing up, we will get you to start taking better photos today. Here with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and award-winning Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me today here listening to me, Raymond, your host on the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today's episode is one that is a little different than normal, but I think that you guys are really going to enjoy it. I know I did, and I know that the interview is packed full of great takeaways, but in another sense, it's less technical and more philosophical, which I think is definitely needed in photography, as it's not all technical. One thing, however, is that today's guest, both Philip and Eileen, live kind of in rural Georgia. And because of that, I'm not sure that their internet connection is the greatest, and therefore we had some audio interference throughout a good portion of the podcast. I still think that if you're able to listen through it, then you're going to be able to get a lot of information out of it. But for some of you, it might be distracting. Just know that I did my best to edit it out, or to edit it so that each sentence made as much sense as possible. So I apologize, but I still think that there's a ton of great information in there and that it turned out to be a great podcast. So let's go ahead and get into it now. We're talking about changing the world, which is a really big picture idea. And I think that Philip and Eileen Bloom really do a great job talking their way through why they're doing it and how you could be doing it as well. So that's it. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode with Philip and Eileen Bloom. Thank you guys so much for coming on today. I'm really excited to get in and start talking to you guys. Do you guys have any questions for me before we get started?
Where are you located again?
I'm in Indianapolis. So just north, I guess northwest of Atlanta, right?
We're outside of Atlanta, about a little more than an hour outside the city. So we're kind of in a rural community that's nearest market is a college town, Athens.
Oh, okay. So it's all pretty close together then. Just kind of personal, do you guys usually have families or couples come to you guys, or do you guys often travel to them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Starting out in our business, we did try to meet halfway or meet couples in Atlanta area.
This was during like Starbucks meetings period of our studio, which everyone goes through.
But after a couple of years, when we kind of completely changed our model around, we're like, okay, they're going to come to us. And so we started meeting with clients in our home.
Beautiful.
And that was before we ever had a studio or anything, but we're kind of amazed that as soon as we started asking or just explaining to people this is how it works, then they were good with that. And so even then, we live 30 minutes further away than we do now from Atlanta, and without a real professional space to meet in. We were sort of shocked that people would consistently come all that way. But it gives you a lot of confidence when you realize you can kind of direct the conversation and the workflow to how you want it to work.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That must have been a great feeling for sure. Well, you know what? Before we get too far into it, like, that was actually really good content. So let me make sure that I'm recording. And then I'm actually going to give you guys a little bit of an intro. And then we'll go ahead and get on into the questions. Sounds good?
Okay.
From the research that I did on today's guests, one thing was very clear. Everything they do is to create the most fulfilling life possible. And a simple Google search will not only prove how great of a photographer they are, but you'll be sure to find something that inspires you. From their appearance on Creative Life to their popular TEDx talk, I'm excited to find out how they use photography to change the world. So today, I'm excited to introduce Philip and Eileen Bloom. Thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Raymond.
Yeah, you know, I find it hard sometimes to do introductions to the podcast because I try to give just a little bit of information on the guest life. I try to include something that I kind of want to talk about today, but it's so hard to give an accurate representation of how you got to where you are today. So can we take a step back and talk about how you both started in photography in the first place before we get into the whole changing the world part?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's funny because as far as a representation of what someone's career was like from the beginning until, you know, it seems like they've made it, is I feel like I never get a real picture of that looking at someone's bio online or their Instagram feed. Mm-hmm. There's so much behind the scenes that I think we get a false picture when we're comparing ourselves either to industry rock stars or if we're just comparing ourselves to the photographer across town who,
yes,
you know, kind of, we in our mind, we know they're doing so much better than we are in the competitions out there. And but our reality is, you know, before plugging in to chat with you, we're just upstairs scrubbing dishes, trying to get our three little kids settled before, you know, so they don't run up and interrupt us, like that classic CNN video. That's kind of our reality. But it started out for Eileen and me at the point that we got married. We both had an interest in photography, and I had a concentration of photojournalism in my degree at school. But we had no idea what we were headed into.
It would be cool to be wedding photographers, but we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. Frankly, I was teaching high school. Eileen was a Starbucks barista. And then during the summers, I was working with my dad's pool and spa store. So the good old Bloom Building and Loan, as we call it, like an allusion to It's a Wonderful Life. I wanted to get out of there so desperately.
But he had shot a couple of friends' weddings during college. So he had that much experience, I guess.
Obviously, I'm sorry to cut you out. So obviously when you were in college, you knew that you had enough of an interest towards photography that you took classes or an interest to learn more about it. Is that right?
My dream job would have been as a photographer for National Geographic, right? So that was, if I hadn't met Eileen and she hadn't ruined all my plans, you know, I was this single, ready to pull up roots and live wherever in the world. And about a few months before graduating college, I met Eileen in Tokyo, Japan, of all places. We met in Tokyo and then found out later that our families both live here.
Whoa, near that's Atlanta. Crazy.
So sparks kind of flew, and that was fine. Actually, my greatest ambition was always just to have a family and be a family man. So the journalistic lifestyle it's not really conducive to that. So I kind of laid that aside and had no idea really that our little, playing around as photographers and eventually shooting some weddings would lead to our being able to shoot things around the world and actually now as a family travel together and do some of that National Geographic type of genre of photography. Never saw that coming. So it's nice when things kind of come full circle.
Of course. Yeah. So Eileen, how did Philip kind of rope you into this whole photography thing then? Obviously it sounded like you were working at Starbucks. You said that you had an interest in photography, but like,
yes, I've always been, in the arts and or fashion. Even though I graduated with a business degree, my concentration was in visual communications. Mm-hmm. So photography was under that umbrella, you know, graphic design, that sort of stuff. And then Philip, he had another friend asking about his wedding photography, and he didn't have any sort of website or anything. So he asked me, Eileen, can you put some of my pictures up on the web somewhere for her to view?
Overachiever.
and then I was like, okay, I guess this is a chance to just put together a website with his portfolio. And so I did that. I just kind of built it visually, but we had a legit website up and running. And then that's when calls just started to come in and we started our business.
Accidentally.
Accidentally.
So obviously at the time that the website went up, did you guys have any sort of ambitions or plans to take this full time, or did it just kind of progress in that fashion?
No ambitions at the beginning. I think as soon as the first stranger called and we thought, well, how do you know us? Oh, you just saw us online. That was a new concept to me. I did not grow up tech savvy. We never had cable TV in my house. We didn't even have AC HV in my house, frankly, growing up. So I was never online or anything like that until I met Eileen and I had an excuse to chat with somebody, long distance. But all of this was new to me as kind of an old school guy. But it became obvious, like, oh, we could maybe do this. And it became busy enough that we were able to transition out of our jobs into full-time photography within that 1 year period, which I know for a lot of people is kind of the goal. How do I leave my day job and make photography full-time? We didn't know at the time just what a blessing that was, but, I think we tried to just be smart about it and not over commit ourselves in terms of the startup costs or things. We just kind of moved into it what we thought was slowly. But I think we were smart. We put our investments in education and in the right kind of marketing and things rather than a lot of equipment at the beginning. And so that helped us move in the right direction.
Tried to learn as much as we could for free online, just looking things up, just to educate ourselves about the industry and about photography, just to make our craft even better.
Yeah. So you said there, Eileen, that you obviously studied business. Is that right?
That's right. So even though I don't remember a ton, no, I feel like I learned so much more after the fact, just things into practice.
Yeah, that's where real world experience. I completely understand. So one thing that I get from listeners is that they say that, they know that they need to have a website. They put up a website and then it's just crickets for a long time.
Right.
And was there anything that maybe you did specifically to the website in the hopes of getting more attention to it or getting calls?
I wouldn't say necessarily. No, I didn't really do anything special in the beginning. A lot of it was just word of mouth, honestly, just giving our first several clients a really great experience and then them talking about us to their friends. And
and to be honest, that's been the hallmark of our strategy and our business from the beginning. We are now since we've started a second studio and outside of Bloom Photography, which is just Eileen and me, the Blooms, we have another photography studio with associate photographers. And now that we've started that business, we're kind of becoming very much more intentional about strategic marketing and online marketing and SEO. And all those are things that, honestly, they're important, but I think people obsess about them a little too much. And it's sort of an 80-20 rule thing. Maybe you put 80% of your effort in trying to perfect your SEO, but the net result is just 20% of the business that you get will come from that. So we always chose to focus all of our energies on client experience. And I think that's just creating an experience for clients where they wanted to rave about you after the fact is really what led to that word of mouth marketing just for the almost 10 years that we've been wedding photographers now.
Wow. Well, first off, 10 years, that's incredible, especially in this industry of photographers where it seems like there's lots of rotation. 10 years is
there
a huge milestone. So congratulations to you guys.
Thanks. Yeah. And Eileen was only 10 when we started, as you can see.
So. Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, there's no way that. So you guys mentioned there a little bit about just having your own studio where it's just you two as photographers and now having associate photographers as well. Can you guys kind of walk me through a little bit about the state of your business? Obviously, you said that it's both you and the associates. Do you guys focus mainly on families? Do you guys travel? Do you guys only do weddings? Kind of walk me through that. Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
Sure. All right, if you go to our website, bloomphotography.com, you'll see weddings there. So we really brand ourselves specifically as wedding photographers. And that's the real meat and potatoes of what we do. Mm-hmm. We'll never be to you know, take whatever work that people want to bring our way for the most part. I mean, you do have to be smart and know, is this person my client, and am I going to be able to serve them the best for their needs? Mm-hmm. But certainly we have a really diverse business. So that includes, I just got a ding. Let me make sure this doesn't ring on us right in the middle of a, so that includes, now that we have this physical studio, we're able to do commercial and, headshots and things of that nature that have been really great. We do senior portraits, and family portraits, but it really comes in. Yeah. Eileen has been fantastic in the newborn genre, and the studio has served her really well for being able to give clients that whole kind of thing. But I think it's really important for especially beginning photographers who want to monetize or turn their hobby into a business you don't have to just do one thing, but when you market yourself and brand yourself, you have to look like the specialist. So you have to get rid of those business cards that say, you know, I do weddings and headshots and babies and et cetera. If you do all those things, that's fine, but have separate websites dedicated to each one, have separate Facebook groups dedicated to each one, and really be an entrepreneur, be a CEO of a company that has many brands. That's okay. If you look at brands around us, you know, whatever it might be, you know, Mercedes makes Toyota cars, right? But they're not just calling them all Mercedes. They differentiate between the different offerings that they give. And a lot of people don't even know that they're the same company. Right. And so that's why I'd recommend people sort of structuring their businesses as they grow.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I try to tell beginners kind of the same thing, where it's like, I tell stories of me personally. I get inquiries on my website for maternity photos or family photos or senior photos. And none of those things I have photos of on my website. Because it's not, I'm not trying to market for those things because I don't have a passion about shooting those things, mm-hmm. but clearly yes. Somebody enjoys my photography enough that they want me to perform that for them. And that's fine. You can still shoot those things. You just don't have to show it if you don't want to market for it. So that's very smart of you guys. I like that a lot. Now I think that we got a really good idea of kind of your business and your background in photography. Let's talk about changing the world, because that's what really excites me. That is something that I don't think enough people are doing, myself included. When I'm getting way far ahead of myself, let's take half a step back. Can you guys talk about your journey in changing the world, what that means to you, and how you guys found yourself in that position?
I think, our personal story of what led to that was, we kind of make our business experience sound like something you'd view through rose-colored glasses. But I think most people have a little bit of a backstory that is a little more human than that, and ours certainly is. The first year we started our business, you know, we kind of stepped into it thinking, oh, this is easy. Like, people are just calling us and booking us. we're too busy to continue our day jobs, and so we'll start doing photography full-time. And we did that. We were busy enough to do so. What we hadn't learned yet, and what we still had a lot to learn about, was just the cost of doing business. What were we really making our profits and all that sort of thing? So we went into this, what was essentially kind of the first year after we got married, sort of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, very optimistic. And that first year of dreams kind of turned nightmarish for us in terms of we were just crazy overworked. We didn't understand systemizing or workflows. Mm-hmm. everything we were learning was new in terms of editing. So we were so much, you know, sort of time at the beginning of setting up a business of just learning every aspect of it.
Yes.
So Eileen and I were just working all hours of the night and into the morning editing and doing all these things. Our relationship time together was suffering. Despite that, we were really excited because, like I said, you know, I was really excited about having a family, and Eileen soon became pregnant for the first time. And we weren't paying our bills, but all of a sudden it doesn't matter because we're going to live on love. And, and then that year became really hard because we lost our first baby to miscarriage. Mm-hmm. We take a look at the, you know, the checkbook and realizing things aren't balancing out. And we just made a decision that, it wasn't something new for us. Eileen and I both grew up, serving overseas, in different missions trips and things like that. And just we're raised to give back and be a part of that. But we realized, okay, we have a business and it's been about, just trying to survive. And that's not what we want our lives to be about. We want to make a difference in the world. And so we said, let's step back. We've had this miscarriage and just really potent reminder of how valuable life is. And let's do something that's meaningful for people's lives and eternity instead of just, you know, settling your checkbook at the end of the year. And so we found out about an organization in Guatemala. This is actually really good timing, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Because today something really special related to this is happening after all these years. We found out about this organization in Guatemala that was doing amazing work, getting kids out of the slums there. There was a civil war just not many years ago in Guatemala that people just fled the country and ended up in slums, you know, cramped, living on top of each other in 10 by 10 foot shacks. And so it's like people have seen a lot more probably in Brazil, the favelas and the issues they have there. Same thing in Guatemala. And this organization was doing what basically no one else was doing by going in there where police won't even go, and wow. giving kids education. Yeah. Family life and
it's a new life pretty much
and those yeah. things for the first time. The only problem was it's basically an organization made up of a few people, local Guatemalans, who obviously have an amazing strategy and are having great success beyond what most people experience, but they had no budget. No one was aware of what they were doing, very little support. And so someone told us about them and we figured we can help. Maybe we can do some photography, just give them some assets that they can use when they're trying to fundraise. And,
yeah. And they were actually needing just a short promo video, like 3 or 4 minute video that they can just put on their website, you know, just to let others know about what they're doing.
And that was kind of the big uh-oh moment when they said, well, what we really need is like a 3 minute promotional video. And we stood back.
We're like, we haven't done video.
We don't know anything about video.
Oh, so by this point you had already reached out to them, said that you wanted to help. And they're like, great, we want a video.
Right.
Yes.
But you know, it's great because opportunities like this give you sort of a freedom that you don't have. Personal projects like this give you a freedom that you don't have in your paid work, because we could just be honest with them. You know, yeah, okay, we'll try it. We're kind of interested in learning video anyway. That's a valuable skill to have, I think, in the future of photography in our industry. We'd like to learn it. So we'll come and try to make a 3 minute video. We can't promise what the results will be, but you're not paying us anyway. So
of course, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even have iPhones at the time, I don't think.
There was no smartphone cameras, anything, no video whatsoever. In fact, our D700s, which we still shoot, didn't even have video. And going through manuals and trying to learn, you know, how do you make a good video? Several days, a couple weeks in Guatemala just...
Is that actually just 1 week? Yeah.
Was it 1 week?
Yeah,
yeah, seven days or yeah, 10 days or something?
It was short.
It flew by, and we came home with enough footage. It was a compelling story that we found there. What they were doing was amazing. So we came back with enough footage, and what was supposed to be a 3 minute promotional film became a feature length documentary film that ended up traveling through 30 states at film festivals, at colleges, universities and things like that, showing and raising a lot of support for this ministry.
Wow. Did you guys ever make that actual 3 minute video, or did you just say, here's the full track?
Yeah, we had to condense it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you need that, right? Just because that's more digestible online and so forth. So there was a parsed down version of that too. Yeah. That kind of leads you into wanting to see the full film. So it was amazing to me though. It really confirmed what I had learned in journalism school, which was this amazing statistic that, they did research. They actually, it's kind of cool. They would actually like track people's eye patterns on newspapers. I think the New York Times and some other papers combined their research efforts for this. They found that on a front page news story, virtually no one would read a front page news story if it was just text. But as soon as you put a picture or some kind of graphic or bar graph, any kind of visual item with that news story, suddenly, what is it? I think
almost
80% of people would read that because there's a visual cue, and we're such visual creatures. And so when you realize you have that superpower, you almost have to step back, and it's kind of like Spider-Man. You know, with this power comes great responsibility. So what are you going to do with your photography? For us, we still love couples, and we believe in marriage, and we love working with couples and shooting weddings. But beyond that, with that responsibility, we wanted to do something that was really important to us, and that was especially working with kids and poverty and seeing how we could change things through it.
Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today. That's incredible. Wow. So you guys went on an incredible journey right there. And you said that this was within or right after the first year of business?
That was a couple of years.
So this is years into the start of our business. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because you do a personal project like that and you kind of think that it's run its course. You know, you raise some funds. There's some money there to build boys' homes and things like that. And then we still work closely with this organization every year, going back and seeing the boys grow up, some of them becoming professionals, you know, coming out of the situation.
Wow.
and going back into their communities and bringing that help back to young. One thing we never expected, which is happening coming to a little climax today, is that someone who saw our documentary found out more about the organization, and he's a director. And he was inspired to write a screenplay and direct a film later this fall is the expected date.
Wow.
But he wrote this film that's actually based around the foundation and the idea of this guy who goes to Guatemala to make a documentary film. And so it was so funny. Even he honored me by giving me a little bit role, and I have a few lines in the movie too. So we have a theater in the studio here that we show our wedding films and things on for clients. And we actually have our team coming in pre-screening version of the film before it goes to theaters later this year. So I really hope people will look out for it. The movie's going to be called Small Group. And I can kind of just under the table tell you guys, I've already seen it and it exceeded my expectations. It's just fantastically well done. And really inspiring. So things like that you never see coming. Mm-mm. But it's going to have just a windfall of additional work for the ministry because of this kind of national attention that it's going to be getting in the coming months. So we're thrilled for that. And we definitely think that the different things that you can't plan. You just try to go out there and be creative and do what you can and let cards fall where they may.
Hey, Raymond here, and we're going to get back to today's show in just a moment. But let me ask you, do you feel like your photos have become a bit stale recently? Do you feel like if maybe you were shooting more, your photos would be better, but you're not sure what to shoot? Well, don't let your photography grow old and stale. Kickstart your creativity by trying just one of the 46 creative photo ideas in my free ebook that you can download right now over at creativeimageideas.com and bring some spice back into your images. Or, I mean, you could just continue to let your camera collect dust. I mean, the choice is yours. But deep down, I think that you know the answer. So again, download your free copy of my free ebook, 46 Creative Photo Ideas, over at creativeimageideas.com. That's creativeimageideas.com. Now, let's get back to today's interview. Mm-hmm. That is an incredible story. Gosh, I love that so much. One thing that gets me really excited is the amount of time that it took to get to this point. Like, this wasn't, hey, we went to Guatemala, we shot this thing, next week we're like rock star photographers. It's like, you took this, and it takes a lot of time to get to where you are today. And a lot of people don't have that patience. And I think that that's something that is really telling about the both of you and your dedication to continuing on helping others, which is so cool.
Thanks. Well, it's the word is constantly in the back of my mind is momentum. And mm-hmm. it's not a sprint. Our one way that, you know, Community, our online education branch of our business for photographers, is all about unity among art, business, and life. And for us, that unity is so important because we make decisions based on our values rather than, oh, we've got to, you know, outdo this photographer and how many weddings they shot this year. We're making decisions based on, we want to homeschool our kids this year. We want to travel to these places. So let's kind of shift our priorities based on those things. We want to help this organization. How can we fit that into our scheme? Sometimes it feels like it's kind of slowing down your business. Oh, I don't have time to do that huge online marketing I want to do, but the things we valued. And if I die tomorrow, I know that I've been focused on the things that mattered the most to me. And maybe it's because we were both born in 1983. We missed the millennial phase by 1 year. But that's a big problem that we all have to fight against, is that millennial. I think it's often attributed to millennials, that idea that I want to change the world. And I want to do it tomorrow. You know, if I get bored in my job after 5 months, then I got to go somewhere else that I can change the world right away. You really need to stick with something and just let that longevity play out and just trust in momentum. It's the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also intentional. I think that what you guys have that a lot of other people don't when they said that they want to change the world is that you guys have defined what changing the world is to you. And that is, you know, spending more time with family, doing the things that you value most.
Defining them, absolutely.
Yeah. Has giving back or creating these projects done anything for your photography? More of like the artistic side rather than the business side?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So even doing this documentary where we had little to no experience with video, it gave us a chance to just try it out without the pressure of having a paying client. So we got to be creative and learn something, do something new. And that really kind of, I guess, just opened up our creative juices.
And then coming back, we're able to sort of show, now we have a portfolio of video work, so we can start adding wedding videography to our business because we have experience and we now feel confident in those abilities. And so that became a new part of our business out of the personal project.
Yeah, and then also people want to be a part of something good so that they feel like they're supporting a business that is doing something meaningful in the world. And so that added to our brand, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, like, I don't know, like Toms is so successful. Like, sure, they make a good shoe, but would they be to the point to where they are today if they weren't also giving back and helping, providing shoes to other impoverished nations? So that's a very good point.
Yeah, and it was just about that same time where we were completely restructuring the way we were doing business. I don't know if you had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, but on the business side, it's all part of that unit. Like, you can do personal projects and you can give back. You also have to be smart in business if you don't want to be a starving artist.
Yeah, because a starving artist can't feed the hungry. So we had to be smart about what we were doing with our business so that we have the means to be able to serve others who, you know, otherwise don't have the funds for it.
Yeah, it's. I know that a lot of people, basically everybody wants to give back. Everybody wants to be a nice person. A lot of people don't know how to. So if somebody wants to start giving back and they want to find an organization that does help and you know, provide for others, how do you suggest people get into something like that? Do they just jump in? Do they just call? Do they just start doing and hope for the best or what?
Yeah, I mean, as with anything, fear is our biggest enemy. It's kind of the thing that they don't need my help. I'm not skilled enough. I can't really. And all these fears, which you said pretty eloquently, they're just do. There is no lack of need in the world. And those who need, who have important stories and need those stories to be told. So, I mean, certainly after our first big project, what was meant to be a little project turned big. You can imagine we just got endless requests from, we're going to do something similar with us. And we just couldn't save the world by ourselves. Right. So that's a big motivating factor for us in our online education. And the many thousands of photographers who are part of our community group, we're all about trying to make a real dent in the world on the local level. So here in Athens, just outside Athens, where we live in Georgia, there's so many organizations just locally that we work with in small ways. And I think these are good ways to get started. Find an organization, nonprofit in your area that you really love what they're about.
And there's a lot in anybody's local area.
Whether it's like helping stray dogs or cancer research fundraising or whatever it is, almost all of these organizations have desperate needs for fundraising. And the most typical way that they fundraise is through galas and kind of auctions, silent auctions and dinners and things. That this is one way that your personal projects and charity can really blend into your business really beautifully. In our case, our market happens to be the highest poverty rate in the United States of America.
Oh, wow.
So we've had a lot of people call us like, how are you making a photography business work in your market? Like, I was always complaining about my market and how you can't sustain a business here. How are you doing it in Clark County? And so the answer to us was, you don't try to advertise to everybody. Not everyone is your clientele. As photographers, you offer a luxury service. And so what we found was, it's through charities where those who have disposable income and who have money to give back and who have the similar things that we have, that's where they all are. And so that's the market we want to target. So we'll donate portrait sessions as auction items to these organizations. And this is how the people who bid on and get these portrait sessions from us are helping the organization, and we're giving a portrait session about our business. They're buying artwork, purchasing artwork that is the majority of how we make our living, is through artwork sales. And so it's this beautiful circle, how everything kind of comes together. We're very adoption is very important to us. One of our children is adopted, and so giving portraits to newly adopted families when they come home with their new child. These are ways that we've met so many in the community.
Wow.
And I think you're not making, your biggest profits from those sessions, but people are learning about who you are and what you stand for. And that's really allowed us to, I think, have a foundation in our market where we do most of our work.
And you're going to be happy at the end of the day. You're going to be happy with what you did.
You're going
to be fulfilled in what it is that you shot and not feel like you just took it because you had to take a paycheck.
You feel a lot better.
That's great. That is a great.
Exactly. Yeah. You feel a lot better knowing that you've done that rather than just dealt with a bridezilla who was never really your client, but you took it because you had to have the paycheck.
Yep.
It's a different lifestyle once you make that decision.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. My brain is just going a million miles an hour right now, thinking of how I could implement these things into my business. Because that is just so great. If you guys had to start all over again, start over from the beginning, we'll go back 11 years now. Is there anything that you guys would do differently to get to where you are today?
I always hate when people answer, no, I do nothing differently because our mistakes, we learn from them. And of course, that's always true, right?
Of course,
yeah.
Yeah. Beginning me.
But yeah, I mean, there's some really practical things. Like, we went, I don't know how many years, just putting up with this ridiculously slow computer. Because I think what's just some smart advice that comes out of that is, it's okay to invest in things that will pay you back. So I would hesitate less about investing in hardware that would make our business more streamlined and more professional. Mm-hmm. The more professional that you act and the more professional you run your business, the better clients you're going to have. And just resist the feeling to think that you always have to, because we did a lot of give in to clients' demands. Mm-hmm. And, oh, well, I can get it cheaper here. Oh, okay, well, I'll kind of meet you halfway.
Yeah.
And what you have, I see that as a tendency in so many upstart photographers. It's just almost universal. But you have to start thinking about photography as a luxury. Listen, people don't need beautiful clothes to survive. Mm-hmm. People need food. They need a roof over their head. And they need clothes. What we offer as photographers is basically like selling somebody a spa. It's a luxury item. And you ought to, we should have earlier on structured our business to really serve clientele and charge what we were worth. And then if we wanted to actually help somebody who needed help, then we can take the money that we have and the resources we need and give back to people who really need it. So I think that distinction was important when we finally made it. Mm-hmm. And we finally restructured our business to work around an artwork sales model. That's the one thing that overnight literally doubled our income and halved the number of hours we were working was when we decided to burn anymore. But we're going to structure our business around artwork sales, which accounts for 70% of our income now. So I think that's a big decision you have to make early in your business before you become like 80% of small businesses and fail before 5 years comes around. Absolutely. If you want to survive the long haul, you need to come up with that kind of sustainable model.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned there a little bit about, you know, showing off to clients that you are professional, that you know what you're doing. Have you ever like made a mistake or a complete goof on a wedding day that you was just super embarrassing that you'd be happy to share?
Never.
Yeah, right. 10 plus years, perfect attendance.
Does anything come to mind immediately for you? I have one thing that...
Oh, go ahead. You share yours.
I think early on how we're just... your style changes over time. And pinning down our style has been a big thing. Hard thing, I think, that we constantly struggle with. And if people think that we have it down, we don't after 10 years.
Right.
But one thing we would do was... we didn't know that there were certain shots, so we just had to get it.
Right.
Until finally clients
for the mother of the bride
started to verbalize that. So like getting the full body bridal shots, and we would shoot a lot of weddings and never shoot the bride alone. Cause we didn't, I don't know. It's just not something we cared about.
Right.
But over years you learn there's a shot list and you don't need to be offended because somebody tells you what they want you to shoot or shows you a Pinterest board. Don't be offended. You're there to serve them. Learn from those things, and they're now we have our shots that we never fail to get through a wedding, and they're standard. We know how to do them and knock them out, and then we can be creative the rest of the time. Nevertheless,
yes.
So I think that's there's definitely those goofs that we made, mm-hmm. and for the most part, I think because of the way we interact with our clients and have created great relationships, people are always forgiving of those mistakes. It's kind of like. You know, and that's a great way to run your business. I think Apple's a great example of that. You know, you'll have Apple evangelists online, like defending Apple, maybe stupid with their new iPhone, iOS or something. But they've created such a brand connection with their clientele about think different and change the world. It's not just about building computers. So because they've created that for their clients, there's a lot of grace when you do make mistakes. And so you can survive the long haul that way as well.
Yeah. What about you, Eileen? Anything that you could think of? I've heard people say that they split their pants or they called out the wrong name at a wedding. Anything like that?
Well, I have some for Philip, but... No, that actually did remind me of when... Can I say that? Philip called the bride by the wrong name. Yeah.
How did she take it?
More than once.
Like very on the same kind. Day or different really brides?
Oh, man. So, yeah, and it's terrible because – and everyone should know that. If you read How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is like
say their name.
The fundamental book that all business owners need to read first, you know how important people's – you don't mess names up. And I have such a hard time with names.
But he knows. So, and people know – like, she was very forgiving. She knew that he cared.
That little thing, but I was never as embarrassed about anything else than that. So
I think you and I are the same way. I've done that as well. I had a couple whose wedding I booked. And they, in their package, they got like a bridal session for after the wedding. But they, halfway through their engagement, they're like, you know what? Instead of the bridal session, can we give that to a friend of ours who just got engaged for like an engagement session? And I thought, oh, yeah, like that's a great idea. That's like a referral. I will absolutely do that. So I became very good friends with their friends who just got engaged. Well, everybody was in the bridal party together. So on the day of the wedding, when I showed up, I said like, oh, good morning, Caitlin. And she's like, no, I'm Kristen. That's Caitlin. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, yes, I know that. I definitely should have got that. I apologize.
But we usually have about 10 Kristens
or
a
Lawrence.
Year who are Lawrence.
Yeah, it can be tough. It can be tough. Or Heathers, for sure. I get a lot of Heathers. But yeah, well, guys.
I feel better now. Thank you.
Yeah, I know you're not alone.
But I was going to say, it happened the first wedding, though, I ever shot with Philip. And it was at the reception, the beginning of the reception, they were going to release doves. And so they put in a basket and beautiful. And then the second dove comes right after that. And then all of a sudden a hawk comes, swoops down and grabs one of the doves.
Oh, no.
Brings it back to his nest. And everyone is looking like with shock. You know?
It was so awesome.
It was pretty like, I think it was a Filipino and there's Haitian, and so very superstitious cultures.
Not a good sign.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't even know what to think about that. Well, guys, I really want to be mindful of your time, and I truly appreciate you guys coming on the podcast and sharing everything that you did. Can you guys share maybe where our listeners can find you online or get some more information on you or your community group as well?
Yeah, you can just Google us. We're Blume Photography, B-L-U-M-E. And I'm actually going to put together a special link, Raymond, for your audience. So if anyone's used the bit.ly link before, it's bit.ly, bit.ly/Blume BP podcast. So beginner photographer podcast. But if you take that link, that will bring you to our page where you can, we have this, probably one of our most popular educational items, that you can get free. If you follow that link, is our big 35 page posing ebook, which is not really just posing. It's called Pose to Playful. So you may have heard of it before, but it will kind of guide you into how to direct a photo session, make it an awesome client experience, but actually infuse storytelling and pose meaningful posing into your portrait sessions in a way that that really creates a lot more authentic images.
Yeah, no. Thank you so much for putting together those resources for our listeners, and I will be sure to link to everything that you guys talked about today in the podcast show notes as well. So if anybody wants to find you guys, they can go there or just head right to your website. So again, guys, thank you so much for coming on and obviously sharing as much as you did and your embarrassing stories that let me feel better as a photographer. So thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks, Raymond. Have a good one.
Thank you. Oh, man. I need to be doing so much more in my life, I feel like, after listening to that episode. You know, growing up, my parents took me to like homeless shelters and soup kitchens to give out food. And it was always a very, rewarding feeling on Thanksgiving or whenever it was. It was a very rewarding feeling inside. And I might not have felt it at the time, but later down, like it just built momentum inside of me to want to give back more. And after listening to Philip and Eileen, I've realized that I do not give back enough. I do not give back anywhere near as much as I want to be as fulfilled as I could be as not only a husband, a father, a son, a human being, but just as a valued member of this earth. I have a lot of ideas going through my head in which I want to move forward, try to figure out how I can use my photography business to better others and the rest of the world. So this interview was, it was an eye-opener for me. So Philip, Eileen, if you guys are listening right now, seriously, thank you so much for coming on and sharing as much as you did and opening up my eyes as well, and hopefully the eyes of our listeners. And remember, guys, if you're listening to this and you want info on anything that Philip and Eileen talked about, if you want to join their community group, then head over to beginnerphotographypodcast.com, and this is episode 67. Check out the show notes. The link will be in the resources section of the page, and you can get access to it from there. Remember, Philip also shared a link to where he is giving away an incredible guide. Like, it's not a posing guide. It's a guide to have more intentional shoots and portraits that don't feel stiff and stuffy. And I've looked over it, and it's really good. I'm definitely going to be implementing some of the tricks that he talks about in the book in my own personal photography. So I highly recommend that you head over and check it out right now. Again, that link is at thebeginnerphotographypodcast.com. This is episode 67, and you can find it in the show notes. So guys, that's it. I want to know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. Is there something that you want to be doing more of? Do you want to be giving back more? What do you want to do? Is there something that you've always felt a passion for inside, but always felt like, they don't need any help. They're a big, organization or something that now you want to reach out to? I want to hear it. And I know that Philip and Eileen want to hear it as well. So let me know. Leave a comment in the show notes of this episode. Or if you're in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, leave it there, as I will be adding Philip and Eileen to the group as well. You can let them know directly So again, that is it for this episode, guys. If you enjoyed it, and I hope that you did, just get out there, have a great week, shoot something fun, be safe. I love you guys. I'll see you again next week. See ya.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Be sure to join the conversations on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want any links or resources we talked about in today's episode, check out the show notes at beginnerphotographypodcast.com. See you again next week.